I'm Aaron Schachter in for Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. For the past 2 months, Ukraine has been locked in a political standoff. The government of President Viktor Yanukovych angered many Ukrainians by refusing to sign a new deal with the European Union. Instead, he chose to keep the country aligned with Russia, sparking weeks of anti-government protests. Now, those protests have given way to violence. Serious clashes in the capital, Kiev, have left dozens of people injured. The violence flared after the government enacted a new law aimed at curbing political demonstrations. The BBC's David Stern is in Kiev.
We haven't seen anything quite like this. These clashes have been going on for 24 hours, and they're quite intense. We have gasoline bombs that people are throwing. It is definitely an escalation.
Now, what we see in the United States, of course, is these protests and demonstrations, Molotov cocktails and so on. But how big is this protest movement as a whole? Is it isolated in Kiev? Is it in pockets around the country? Kind of break it down for us, if you would.
It's based in Kiev. Kiev is the capital, and we've seen the biggest crowds here. There are other cities that are participating, primarily in the West. And it does seem to have widespread support throughout the center and the west of the country. This is where the anti-government, anti-President Viktor Yanukovych base is. But it should be said that the eastern and southern part of the country are for President Yanukovych, and they have had protests as well, but very, very small.
You know, I'm not sure, David Stern, if the comparison is apt, but I can't help but think of Ukraine and Egypt together. You know, the protesters went on the streets. They demanded that the president be ousted. The military did get rid of the president, and democracy suffered. I wonder if you've ever asked them whether perhaps the devil they know is better than the devil they don't.
Well, that's a very deep question for any political group. Once you go out into the streets, once you actually embrace violence, as some have, I should say that for the most part, most people are just watching, and it's a small group that are clashing with the police. But once you have that element in your protest, you really take matters in your own hands, or I guess you could say it's out of your hands. This sets a precedent. Ukraine is definitely going down a completely unknown road right now. We don't know where this is going to end. We don't know if this is going to end, for that matter, because, as I say, there doesn't seem to be a compromise that's on the horizon. So there is very much a risk for the country's political stability. Many people, in fact, are talking about civil war, although we haven't reached that point. We're not anywhere close to that point. But there is that potential in Ukraine. It is a divided society, and it is a society that has a very fragile democracy, but it does have a democracy.
The BBC's David Stern speaking to us from Kiev, capital of Ukraine. David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The protesters in Kiev aren't just angry at President Yanukovych for refusing to sign a deal with the EU. They also accuse him of conducting a political vendetta against former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. She was jailed by the government more than 2 years ago for alleged abuse of power and is still in detention. But her daughter, Eugenia, has been appearing at the protests in Kiev and says demonstrators are clear about what they want.
First of all, the dismissal of the government, dismissal of those people who are responsible for the violence. Of course, it's early election of the president and then parliament. And the third request is a release of all political prisoners and my mother.
So you want dismissal of government, new elections, the release of your mother, Yulia Tymoshenko. How democratic is it really? Call for a president to be dismissed and the government to be dismissed because he did something you don't like.
Well, it's not just we and other protesters. Yanukovych, when he was running for president, clearly stated his course of, you know, strategy for Ukrainian foreign policy and for Ukraine in general. It was for Euro integration. He reversed this. Yanukovych does not want to sign association agreement or customs union. He wants to make sure to make certain tactical moves to increase his power, to make sure that he has guarantee for the elections, for presidential elections of 2015.
Do you feel like you and other demonstrators really represent the majority of Ukrainians? From what I understand, the majority of people in the country itself, especially in the East, would rather have a pact with Russia than with the EU.
I don't think so. I think, you know, if we count, of course, like regime does, you know, what they say is that, oh, well, just 1 million came out. It just only makes, you know, 0.5% of the population. But the fact is that now more than 60% of Ukrainian population, they support euro integration more and more so, because it's not really, you know, the monetary values we want. The people who are fighting for euro integration, they're just fighting just for basic things, you know, basic rules, rule of law, protection of human rights. And that's something that I think most of the people in Ukraine now share.
So it's a cultural shift, not just a financial one.
It's civilizational choice for Ukrainians.
Eugenia Timoshenko, how far are protesters willing to go, do you think? We've seen a lot of violence recently. Do we see more of that, do you think, in the future? And if so, doesn't that hurt your cause?
Well, of course, yesterday the eruption of violence came, you know, just a shock to all of us. At the same time, you know, we understand that people who started this violence, well, they actually wanted to just go through to the Rada, to the building of the parliament, and they were blocked. And it just, you know, shows, again, illustrates how, you know, when the people are blocked, when the people are forced into the, you know, into some kind of rules that the regime wants them to fulfill, they come out, you know, more and more, you know, aggressive and not patient, because they feel desperate and they have no other way to fight anymore. Our mouths have been shut, our hands have been tied, and the only thing that we can do now is really what is left is physical fight, and that's what unfortunately was happening.
Sounds like you don't condone it, but you understand it.
Well, of course, my mother made a statement today that, you know, the people are really fighting for their freedom, and she understands them, and she, if she was free, she would be together with them.
Eugenia Timoshenko, a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.